Hello, I'm Phil Svitek, 360 Creative Coach, and welcome to my blog, where it is both my mission and my pleasure to highlight my creative journey in hopes of inspiring you, giving you specific takeaway, all that way your journey can be at least a little bit easier. Now, before we fully dive in, I would love to invite you to subscribe if you haven't already. That way you get all the various lessons and episodes that I put out right when I put them out. Thank you if you just did, and thank you if you already were. It truly does mean a lot to me, as I hope it does to you. Now, also, before I jump into things, I'm not sure if you can hear the LA rain. Yes, it does rain in LA. In fact, for most of 2024, there's been a lot of rain. And it's not just rain right now, it's hail. So if you hear that in the background, that's what that is. It's hail in LA. Go figure. But without further ado, so this past week in terms of, you know, what I've been up to, it continues to be the primary focus of my creative work is The Arbiters, which is an animated feature fantasy project that I've been working on and, you know, moving forward on in terms of the development phase. And a big component of this past week was finalizing the casting for our proof of concept teaser. And pretty much every role was kind of solidified that we needed, right, in terms of the teaser. It's a pared-down version of all the people that would be in the full movie, with the exception of one of the main characters. And so we'd been searching for a while now through casting websites to find the right fit. And it came down to three people that we really liked. And the way it worked for me was one of my producers, Astoria Hill, she was the one sort of coordinating everything, and the rest of us, all we were really judging anyone on was based off of the quality of their voice. Because it's an animated movie, we're looking for that primarily, as opposed to, you know, do they fit the role looks-wise or anything else, right? So, you know, I didn't know what anyone looked like or things of that nature. All I knew was just their voice. And so we had come down on to three people that we, you know, thought could do the role well. And so it became time to, all right, well, let's do a meet and greet, right? So you can consider it a callback, but it wasn't about having them read the lines necessarily. It was for us to get to know each other, me to answer any questions, explain what our process is, see if they're on board with that. And likewise, if, you know, I get along with them, if we gel creatively, things of that nature, right? And the good news is it was quite a challenging choice because everyone, you know, through their vocal quality fit very well, and also they were enjoyable people, right? And that's what you would hope for, but it certainly makes it challenging in that sense because there's only one role to fill instead of three in this case. And so then you kind of work through it and you're like, okay, well, you know, you gotta make the best choice possible for the movie, for them, and things of that nature. Now, one of the things that, as I was kind of going through it, I was like, okay, you know what? I really like the quality, like the performance of this person and the spirit of this person. And it just got to a point where I was like, okay, I think there's a way where one of these people, though we were looking at him for this role, I think he can actually play this role and that might suit us better. And the person that we had playing that role at the moment, you know, wasn't necessarily they were more of a stand-in, right? Of people that I knew filling in the slot. So it didn't require a major change, right? And I say that because, you know, in the ideal world, as I've talked about in the past, if you've been following along, is that the people that we sort of cast in this teaser, they would be the ones that would essentially reprise their role when we made the feature film. And to sort of backtrack for clarity, for anyone not in the full know, we're doing this proof of concept teaser as part of a package that we then want to shop around to get the full budget to make the full-length movie, right? But, you know, A, I can't necessarily guarantee that for anybody, because that's just the nature of this business. And secondly, you know, because we're sort of limited on budget at the moment, you know, we're kind of working with who we have and whatnot. And so when this opportunity came along of like, okay, well, I know we were auditioning for this person, but I think they could be a good fit here. I was like, okay, well, let's go for it. Let me ask this person, see if that's something that they're willing to do and what they think about that, and see if we can even make that work. And turns out we can, right? And you hear a lot of these stories in movies where someone auditions for this role, and then, you know, all of a sudden they switch into a different role, and that's the role that they were meant to play, right? So it's kind of one of those situations, and I look forward to seeing it essentially unfold in that way. So yeah, it's exciting, and now it's a matter of getting everyone to meet, right? Working through the script itself and kind of getting their minds more into it, explaining certain motivations and also kind of what the idea is for the blocking, yada, 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 right? All those different things coming into play. So, and we can do that because, you know, now we know our cast of characters. So that's really exciting to, you know, have in place and kind of have that milestone essentially complete for at least this phase of it. The other aspect, you know, each week we as a team get together and we talk about both logistics and the creative. And we've been focusing in on the main characters, designing them and making sure we all approve and, you know, that they're exactly as we want them to be. And some characters are harder than others, but no character has been harder than the character of Rosa, who is this character that plays a major role in the telling of this story. I mean, they're all very central characters. There's like 9 main characters, but she in particular, given the nature of her relationship to everyone else, has just kind of been eluding us, right? And so, you know, she started off conceptually one way, and then we were like, okay, well, maybe that's not it. And so then when we swung the pendulum to the other side, and it was like, okay, well, there's just something missing there. And so now we made some progress in our production meeting where we essentially like Frankensteining a Photoshop design where I would take, we were like, okay, well, what if she had these kind of eyes? Okay, so we pulled images of those eyes, put it on a face that we liked. And then it's like, okay, well, what about this person's hair? If we put this, so, okay, you know, you put the hair on top of this face. And it's like, okay, well, what's her body figure and what's her attire? And what if we put, you know, this necklace on her, this bracelet on her, whatever it may be. And so you do this, but it was very like sloppy Photoshop editing. So it's kind of, you know, almost when you make a dream board and you cut out certain things from a magazine and like, you know, piece it together. It was kind of like one of those type of things. And just by the nature of it, like conceptually, like we thought it was okay. It certainly got us further along, but because it was so Frankenstein together, it was hard to judge. And, you know, we were still very much formulating our thoughts. So we were like, okay, let's put a pin on this. Let's regroup. Let's think about it. And we'll resume in the next meeting. And thankfully, one of the people that is on our team that wasn't part of that meeting, but I called him up separately and was like, hey, you know, do you have time this week to get together and essentially sketch out this character? You know, we have a rough idea, but it'd be good to just see not a polished version, right? But just something that's more friendlier to the eye, let's say. I don't know. And so luckily we got some time on the books, and within an hour and a half, he had created what was essentially a good depiction of the character. Now, is it the final design? Like, looking at it, I still don't think it's quite there yet. But at least now we can adequately assess it at our next meeting to be like, okay, well, what are the changes that need to like really drive this home? And yeah, that was fun to, you know, sort of take a sidestep at and kind of create and see where we're at, you know? Because, yeah, I think when all things are said and done, you know, like, let's say the movie was complete tomorrow, I'm willing to bet that at the end of the day, the design of this character remains the hardest portion. I wouldn't be surprised if even just minor things change from now until we finish it. Whereas other characters, you know, we're changing a couple things here and there, but fundamentally, there's like a core essence to them. Whereas here, you know, there's just so many things that we're trying and seeing what sticks on the wall, so to speak. And you got to do that. You know, I think that's part of everything. You know, and you'd much rather do it in this early phase, right? I'm a big advocate of deciding early on and sticking to that choice, essentially, because it saves you time and money, right? Like, knowing what you're going after. And it might seem counter to that in this instance, but here is the time to play with it, right? We are in the development phase, so seeing what works and what doesn't. And that way, you know that when you solidify the choice, it's the best choice because you've seen the various options, right? And that applies to script writing and everything, you know, even down to like later on editing and things like that. So, you know, that's sort of been my approach to all of this, and I'm excited. We were supposed to also have a script meeting last week, which didn't end up happening, that's kind of, I don't know, I would love to have it on the one hand, but at the same time, it allowed for me to take a quick step back, and what I've been doing is essentially writing in TV shows. They call it like a show Bible, right? And it's kind of the history, the lore, backstories of the characters and things of that nature. And so I've always had that for this movie, but with each update to the script and so forth, you know, there's various old stuff that no longer applies or gets elevated, evolved, and so forth. And so, you know, I took what I had and updated it. And along with that, I was like, okay, well, let me also take a step back. Now, knowing that I've revised the script, let me assess that and essentially just from start to finish, bullet point the script and start to do a rewrite in outline form, you know, because there's changes I want to make, but rather than like dive in into, you know, the forest and the trees, so to speak, like, let me just take a bird's eye view first and see if it works conceptually. And I've been sort of working on that. And the funny part is, on the one hand, you're not writing many words, right? You're just, it's bullet points, right? And for the most part, you can keep it as simple. Like, I always start with the Robert McKee idea of inciting incident, progressive complications, crisis, climax, resolution, right? So in theory, you're talking, what, less than like 10 bullet points, maybe, in that. So not a lot of writing, not a lot of words. And yet, the length and breadth of that, needs to give life to what will come. And that can be difficult, right? And I bring that up because like those things in particular are very tough to judge the progress of. And so what I had decided for myself was, okay, let me essentially break it up into chunks where I'll, through this outline, I'll draft everything from the beginning to the end of Act One. And then I'll focus on the start of Act Two to the Act Two midpoint. And then we'll break things down from the Act Two midpoint to Act Three. And then we'll break Act Three into two parts. So that way, I can really give time and attention to all of this stuff and not have to have the added pressure of like, okay, if I devote a 4-hour writing session on a weekend to this, that within that 4 hours, I have to have the entire script revised. I can really hone in and still have that bird's eye view, but also, explore different angles. What does it look like from here and here? And what if I tried this? So it allows for more of that play rather than just trying to streamline from beginning to end and just, all right, get it done. And that's been liberating, in many ways. So that's been a big mental component of just allowing myself grace, essentially, if I had to say it in any sort of way. Now, what I did not have on my to-do list and what I learned this week was that, so our crowdfund ended Wednesday morning, essentially, at like 6 a.m., give or take our time. And this was a crowdfund to raise money for the development phase of this entire project. And we had to reach a certain minimum in order to receive any money, right? So we had set our target goal of $30,000, which meant through Seed and Spark, we needed to make 80%, which amounts to $24,000. So we needed to make $24,000 or more in order to get any of that money. And I'm proud to say we did, right? That's not news because I talked about that last week. But what was interesting was, okay, so you see this number, you've worked hard to get that amount of money, right? And to eke over the finish line, as it were, just so you can get that money because it's an all or nothing sort of campaign. So had we gotten like $23,999, close but no cigar, you would not get a single penny of that money. Okay. So we did it. Congrats to us. But then on Wednesday, it's like, okay, cool. A weight has been lifted off our shoulders. We can focus on, now what we need to focus on instead of having to, promote and reach out to people. However, so what happens is because in all or nothing campaigns, a credit card doesn't get charged until the campaign is over. Well, that can mean is that even though people are well-intentioned, things can happen, their card could be all of a sudden declined. So there you are, you wake up and $5,000 worth, if give or take, I think even more, worth of credit cards were declined. And so now it becomes an outreach fiasco to get in touch with these people, be like, hey, really, really thankful that you pledged. However, your credit card was declined, so do you mind fixing that? And in some sense, you sound like a scammer, sending them a link of like, hey, just click this link and it'll reprocess your payment and all will be well. And I will say, thankfully, the ideal is, of course, that you have people pledge to you that you don't have a connection to, like that build your own audience, sort of speak, and that's the best. pretty much everyone that pledged, with the exception of one person that we don't know who is, has some sort of connection to the production, right? Whether through me or somebody else. And so, you know, that's, again, the ideal is having people that's just your fan base that you have no connection to, like, that would be great. But in this case, it was wonderful because obviously not only did we surpass the minimum amount thanks to all of them, but also because credit cards got declined, we were able to reach out directly instead of just relying on, you know, an email that was fed into the system of the crowdfund and so forth. And so luckily, we pretty much got all the pledges minus, we're still waiting on someone that pledged $25. And, you know, at the end of the day, if they don't respond to that email, like, okay, fine. You know, it's $25. What am I going to do? You know, that sort of thing. But I was going over this with my friend because, yeah, in many ways, it's a fascinating thing because let's say we were raising $1 million. And let's say we made that goal of $1 million through a crowdfund. Cool. On paper, that looks like a wonderful, wonderful success. But let's say all the credit cards got declined with the exception of like one, and so you end up getting $10, even though, you know, you had thought you were going to get $1 million. So again, all you can really do is roll up your sleeves and try to rectify the situation. But, you know, it's not fun, it's not easy, and in theory, you could walk away with none of it. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I think, you know, it would be nice for these crowdfunds to essentially charge you at the time of the pledge, hold the money, and then release it if it was successful or return it if it's not. But you live and learn, you know, and unfortunately, Kickstarter's not like that. Seed and Spark's not like that. So it's an interesting conundrum for sure. If you're trying to raise money that you don't think about, right? You don't think about these things when you start it. You just look at oh wow, we did it. You know, we made $24,000. Oops, no, you didn't. You got to reach out to these people. And I will say, with the exception of like one person who dealt with credit card fraud between the time they pledged and here, so that way, you know, they had a new credit card, they had to input a new credit card. Everyone else's cards that had issues with it were Apple Pay. It was so annoying. So, you know, Apple Pay was supposed to be fine, you know, in terms of payment method. However, Apple Pay also kind of, you know, I guess just whatever, their fraud detection is way higher. And so, yeah. you know, pretty much all the Apple Pays got rejected. So at this moment in time, I wasn't the biggest fan of Apple Pay, to say the least. Anyway, I'm thankful that we got it all squared away and onward and upward, as they say. Looking forward to this next week where we will have our script meeting. So I'm looking forward to everyone's inputs. You know, more creative stuff to come. And we just approach the date of our filming. You know, it's set in stone, April 27th. That's when we're filming. So now what seemed like very far away, we edge closer, right? We're not quite a month away, but we're getting there. This week we'll pass that and, you know, the countdown will officially begin. As much as I would have loved to film it sooner, I'm glad we're in the position that we are. It allowed us to really consider these things and so forth. And I will say, in doing the script rewrite, it's been good because it allows me to incorporate those notes into the proof of concept teaser itself. You know, we always knew that at the end of the day, there's going to be a very big possibility that what ends up in the teaser, you know, could be switched up in terms of what the final script ends up being and stuff like that. No different than, you know, you shoot a movie you cut it together and a trailer gets made off of that, but you're still kind of revising and polishing the edit. And so sometimes in the trailer, there might be moments, whether intended or not, that are essentially deleted scenes that never make the final movie. And that's kind of the same with this, just on a grander scale, because we don't have a finished movie, right? The whole idea of this proof of concept teaser is, imagine if the movie was complete, here's what the teaser would look like. So, you know, in that way, you accept that as just a statement, as a fact. But all the same, you know, if I have the ability and you know, none of this ultimately drastically changes anything, like the script itself, while it evolves, it's not like it null and voids the teaser. And the changes that are being made, they're I like to say, you know, they're tightening of the screws. And so the aspects of it all just, yeah, they're slightly minor changes. So it's not like all of a sudden we have to rethink the entire teaser or even portions of it. It's just, you know, knowing certain things. So like, for example, if there's a close-up shot of somebody, you know, now knowing a greater level of specificity of, okay, where could they be looking and why? Oh, there's a sense of distrust, you know, in their eyes against this person. So let's make sure we have that as the core motion of that shot, right? So it's stuff like that versus before it might've been like, okay, well, you know, they're just kind of looking this way. Well, it's like, why are they looking that way? You know, and it all made sense before, but now it's just, you know, more clear cut and more defined and yada, yada, yada. So I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, just onward and upward. I mean, I will say, separate of this project, I am continuing to work with my ghostwriter on my second nonfiction book, which is a filmmaking how-to book that, you know, kind of like in the vein of Rebel Without a Crew, which is the ultimate filmmaker's, you know, book that I highly recommend. It's by Rob Rodriguez. It's essentially diary entries of him making his first movie, El Mariachi. And even though it's like a memoir, it's a wonderful teaching tool. It embodies the spirit, you know, in terms of inspiration, but also, as I always strive to do, it gives you those tactile, you know, benefits of, okay, you know, here's, yes, this is my mentality, but this is how it resulted, and this is, you know, how I approached it, and how I, you know, how he made a feature film for $7,000. Shot on film. So insane. And that's what this book aims to do in my own way, right? And so we continue to draft the whole book. So, you know, it's been exciting on that front as well. So, you know, many, many things going on. Again, these things that I'm sharing, these are sort of my creative projects that I'm working on, but as always, I've got clients and, you know, friends ask me for their input and stuff like that. So always lots to do, but that's what makes it exciting. So as always, thank you for taking the time to tune in and listen. You're welcome to comment down below with any questions or thoughts of your own. It could be about stuff that I talked about. It could be stuff that I didn't talk about, right? Happy to answer them in the future or do a lesson about it, whatever it may be, whatever sort of fits best. So yeah, or hit me up on social media at Phil Sweet Tech. Love to chat with you. I love when you comment. It's a lot of fun for me. So yeah, thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.